really get it.
Yeah, when you love God, that's what makes it all work. Your love for God. When you hear something from God, you want it. You grab at it. You want it. From there, you have to let it grow roots. You have to keep it, retain it.
The love is the receptor.
Yeah.
Everything that's love back, your spirit will accept. Everything that's not love back, if you're in love, you'll spit it out.
The understanding of God's word, it encourages your sincerity. When people who are sincere, they love the word and they stand on it, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. It takes sincerity to do that, and sincerity comes from receiving the word and coming to a point of understanding. Understanding comes as you do it. When we're introduced to the word, you can tell by faith that it's true. You know it by faith. But when you receive it in your heart and you do it, that's when you finish learning. You finish learning the things of God as you act on them.
It gives you a love muscle.
Yeah, it gives you a love muscle. From there, you understand it. Okay, I see. When the Lord, when he first said, if somebody slapped you on one cheek, turn the other cheek.
I had a problem with that.
Oh,
I said, you know, I had, and I said, but Jesus said it, so I got to do it. So I said, well, this is what I'll do. And if people spoke rough or whatever, I'd rely on the Holy Spirit, and he'd give me what to say. It wouldn't be a reply out of anger. It'd be a consoling, soft-spoken reply, because Proverbs said, a soft answer turns away wrath. And it works. I saw the beauty of people have gotten saved because I didn't respond like they were. I responded like God. But years went by. I think it was around 2008 or 2006. I said, Lord, why did you say turn the other cheek? Now, I had done it. I never asked the Lord the question until I got saved in 83. That was one scripture I didn't like. But I did it because Jesus said it. That's the only reason I did it. And I wanted to represent him, not me. But I never asked him why he put it that way. And so in around 2008, I said, well, why did you put that in the word? Why did we turn the other cheek? I just wanted to see what I didn't disagree at that point. I just wanted to see what he'd say. He said, I didn't want my people to provoke violence. And I saw the beauty of his word. I had an understanding because I had lived that way for decades. And then now, sometimes you have to ask questions and you can agree more. It settles you, you know. But that's what the word does for us. God is moving by his spirit. When we receive what he's saying, we're moving with him by his spirit. It's not by might or power, but by his spirit. He told Joshua, he said, this is Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. And then he said this key verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditating on the word, receiving it, treasuring it. The more you treasure it, the more sincerity you're going to walk in. And the Lord is looking for sincerity. From Genesis to Revelation, he's looking for and attracting sincerity. When the word of God is spoken, it attracts the sincerest people. When you live the sincere life of God's word, you attract people that would appreciate it. sometimes the people that are attracted to you, they may be doing anything. They may be on drugs. They may be in prostitution. They may be drug dealers. They may be robbers, thieves. And when they see the life of God in action, they are attracted, because the enemy, while they were in the world or thinking according to the world, he tried to keep them off balance. The Lord said this. He said, sincerity attracts sincerity. And he said this one day, I thought about how I listen to Kenneth Hagin every day. I made it my business at lunchtime to be where I could listen to Rhema broadcast. I wanted to hear what Kenneth Hagin had to say. And then I thought about Pastor Howe. When they gave him the book, Authority of the Believer, he went and bought all the books. Then he shut down and went to the college. And I thought about this. I said, we got that in common. And then the Lord said, sincerity attracts sincerity. Kenneth Hagin had the Word of God. And it made more sense. It outclassed everything else at that time, because it was the sincere word. There was no indoctrination in it. You know, it didn't have the Baptist glasses on it, or the Methodist glasses on it, or even the holiness glasses, or the Pentecostal. It was the Word of God. Amen. And he was teaching people to use their faith.
I'm reading his book, Growing Up Spiritually, which every Christian should read. And mm-hmm. he said that he was a preacher, mm-hmm. but he didn't like that as much as teaching. Mm-hmm. But the way the teaching anointing came on him so strong that he grew a little group in Wednesday morning, from three or four, like he said, women, faithful women, to the whole church leaving their jobs to come, just about the entire church. He said he prayed Ephesians 1 and 3 all day. Mm-hmm. He got down on his knees. He said if he didn't have to go to a meeting or he wasn't preaching, he was praying those two prayers over and over. And that's when the teaching anointing, best teacher ever born, that's how he said he got the teaching anointing. Mm-hmm.
And you know, God starts with, you know, Zechariah said, don't despise small beginnings. When you're going to do something big for God, Lester Sumrall said this: most of the time, change is made by one person, not organizations.
Amen.
Because the revelation that God gives will supply. And then the people that help you, it almost always starts out very small. Yes. And the Lord taught me this when he was teaching me about how he taught me about pastoring a church. I said, Lord, am I going to pastor a church? He said, no. I said, whew. I said, well, why are you teaching me this? He said, I want you to know it. He said, he starts with a core group. A core group. A man of God received a revelation, and he has a vision, and he starts with a core group, and they do what God say do, and it grows. This church was started the same way.
As long as they follow God and not the ministry, some people get off on following and desiring the ministry rather than following and desiring God. That's when they get off track.
Let's see, the charter members. Reuben, Charlie, and Mike and Vicky, and Pastor, and you know, they started. And then when little Jim went to that other church, he had the descendants of the same core group. And they paid the church off in record time, did the work, until the Lord sent a pastor, then he came back. God is moving, you know.
Dusty, at one of the Front Magic Sons satellite in Gardale, another night, Heather was preaching.
That's what I'm saying. It grows.
So they're still part of this church, but they're there.
Yeah.
That's how they got a little gym. Mm-hmm. God placed them in another church.
God works that way, and it was done right.
And probably if she'd stayed here, not that I know, that she might not have been operating that yet.
When people seek the Lord, just like in Acts, the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you grow out. That's it's beautiful. It works. God prepares people. He thinks of everything. And he's always moving. He's always in motion. And he gets us on board as we receive the word, planted deep in our heart and operating. You can do anything. God can take you and do greatness. It doesn't matter how, it's not you, it's the revelation. He don't need a man to teach. The anointing's going to do that. You're just going to work it. We have to have foundation, because the people that we minister to, they're going to be, if you're giving an example in the name of God, in the name of the Lord, whatever you do, they'll eat it as soon. People don't know how to, unless they study the word, they don't know how to distinguish what's best from what's not best. So if our teaching is pure, the only way our teaching can be pure, unadulterated, is to receive it from the Lord and speak it just like he gave it. And that was my fail-safe. I said, Lord, how am I going to teach? I don't know everything. He didn't require me to. He required me to follow him. And whatever he gave me to minister, that's what he sanctioned. So I'll say that, and I'll be quiet, and then I'll learn from it. And some of the things, the pet doctrines that develop in the church, that's really not God's word. I look back on it, and the Lord never brought those pet doctrines to me. I went to a holiness church, and they had a strict dress code for women. No pants, no jewelry. They had to have their hair covered. The Lord never, ever had me to teach that, even when I thought it was all right. They even, in the holiness church I went to, they didn't believe in women preachers. So, the Lord never told me a woman can't preach.
And see, would they not have invited Joyce Meyer to their church?
No, they wouldn't have invited Joyce Meyer to the church. But this is what happened. I was convinced of that for a season. And I kept running into people that used to go to that church. I ran into a lady, she said, I used to go to Refuge Church. I said, yeah, she said, but the Lord called me to the ministry and they don't believe in women preachers, so I had to leave.
She did rot.
So, yeah, I got to thinking about it. I said, she looks honest. And then time went by. And then the Lord showed it to Elder Lewis, the pastor. So he said, this doctrine of women can't preach is wrong. He said, in fact, the same scriptures we use to say they couldn't do it say that they can. And he released them, and five women came up that had been called to the ministry, and they were good. So you have to make adjustments. Sometimes the wrong knowledge will fight the true knowledge. And I was blessed by all of them. I learned to follow God through a woman. Every Sunday she read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And that word got in my heart. And Elder Lewis used to receive his messages from the Lord. He wouldn't preach unless God gave him a message. And I expected the same thing. So when I got called to the ministry, I filtered what I believed by what God gave me. I knew that what God had given me was from him. So I studied and I would minister it, and I watched how he do things. I went through a lot of changes. You know, the church I went to said, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not even a Christian. So one day I had to preach at my dad's Methodist church. I said, I'm going to see how the Lord handles this. And he spoke to the people as if they were his own. And I said that I red flagged what I had been taught by following the Holy Spirit. Now, things have happened. My parents did things I didn't even know about. I was the youngest. I was born when my dad was 42 and my mom was 40 when I was born. So when my dad was younger, they lived in Village Springs out there in Palmerdale, next to Rimlap. That was the first house I was born in. I was born there. You know, I was born at the university, but that's where we lived. We moved when I was three. And my cousin said, yeah, Uncle, they called my dad Uncle Bobby, you know. They said Uncle Bobby used to let us box in the yard, and my sister told me how all the little boys, he went and bought them some gloves, baseball bats, and baseballs, and uniforms. And after they get through playing, he'd get everything, put it in the trunk of his car the next time. And I didn't know that. And he would box all the grown men. They wanted to box him. You know, he was a professional boxer, so he took it easy on them. And his cousin Lewis would get a bucket of water. And my dad would knock him out. And Gil said that when he punched him, it looked like he barely tapped and they fall right out. And then my cousin Lewis, he'd throw the water on him. And they wake up, oh, I'm gonna win next time. I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna win. And Uncle Lewis say, we got plenty of water.
What a good memory.
Yeah, and I missed it. I wasn't born yet.
But you heard it. But yeah. It's a good memory. Thank
you, Dad. My uncle has a videotape. He videotaped me when I was three. And I was walking out there in the yard. And I walked around my dad's car, and my dad had on shorts. You know, one of my cousins rode down the street on a horse. It was like a, you know, it was interesting. But,
Bill Lapp's kind of a country thing. You're in the
Was in Village Springs. It was pretty, you know, it's like the countryside. But my other sister, my youngest sister, told me that she ran into people. My parents would help them out. And they say that they'd come down and talk to them when they had tragedies, or if they needed something, they'd give them money or whatever. And she said, I didn't know anything about it. They were God's people. They were. One day after church, my daddy, I don't know if I preached or he preached, but I think I preached that day, he was sitting on a bench they had made out there. And he told somebody, he was sitting there just talking. He said, yeah, I believe God for my son. Because he had three girls. Then he had a son that was stillborn. My mother fell down the escalator. Then 3 years later, I was born. And I said, he believed God for me. You know, I had a good home, so I said, I better do something with my life. I better. But they were godly people, and they in their ministry, they paid for three churches. They, you know, my dad had it hard. He'll preach at one church one Sunday and two the next Sunday. And out of town, he pastored out of town. He worked at the plant, then he'd drive all the way to Utah, Alabama, and preach, and then he'd come back and be at work Monday morning about 6 o'clock. So that's how he did. But I told my son, my dad didn't talk much, but he said a lot. He wasn't a very vocal person. Around the house, he'd just sit there and he was quiet. But what I learned from him was by example. And the Lord uses the vision that we have, you know. So everything that's of God, use it. People watch your life. And when you show them God, when you show them the Word of God, it helps. It helps them come out of darkness. The people are struggling to come out of darkness. So when we love them and give them the Word of God, they can come out. Any comments before we close?
If you're in the woods and it's pitch black,
yeah.
If you see a light anywhere, you go ahead for it.
Perfectly put. That's why I love this class. People, you know, people hear this on the website, and it gives people what they need. In God's eyes, everybody's important. Every person has a voice. And we're not limited. When you give something to the Holy Spirit, it's not limited anymore. He can get it to the right person. You know, I pray. I want y'all to believe with me on the website all the things that are said. Pray that God will give it to the right people that have taken and go with it and run with it. That, you have to pray over things. I pray over that a lot. But pray with me that God will take the website and use it, newlivingletters.com, and just use it. Because you're on there. You're part of this work.
Ephesians 1 and 3 covers all of that.
Yeah, that's right. What we put in motion stays in motion. What we pray for, well, the prayer group, those prayers mean something. God is using those prayers. Everything that you give God, just like Brother Horton said, when you give it to Jesus, he'll bless it, multiply it, and give it back to you.
And give you the broken pieces.
Yeah, give God your broken fragments of knowledge, and he will use it. I mean, that's just the way it is. We know in part, you know, but somebody's going to hear this, and then they're going to be able to get more from the Lord. All right, dear Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to go forward in you doing all that's in your heart. Use everything you can in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good job,
saints.
Amen.